السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأسر والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Welcome back to our theme, a series on the theme that we have been going over, entitled The Vanguard of Justice, Imam al-Hujjah and Justice in the Supplications and the Visitations. And this is session number 3 of 3, our concluding discussion on this very important topic of justice and as it relates to the Savior of humanity, Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallahu ta'ala, farajuhu sharif. Now, if you were with us in our earlier sessions, you'll recall the topics we have been going over. But before we begin with the actual just review of the summary of the previous two discussions, let us begin with the very beautiful supplication to help us and guide us in our quest for Islamic knowledge, in which we have been taught to recite the following prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma akhrijni min dhulamat al-wahmi. وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. O Allah, take me out of the darkness of doubt and favor me with a light of understanding. O Allah, open for us the doors of your mercy and unfold for us the treasures of your knowledge. With your mercy, O the most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, send your blessings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. The Quran tells us in chapter number 5, which is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 8, Allah proclaims, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada'a bilqist, wa la yajrimannakum shana'anun qawmin ala ala an ta'dilu. اِدِلُهُ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. In this very powerful verse of the Quran, Allah states, O you who believe, be upholders and standard bearers of right for God's sake, bearing witness for the establishment of absolute justice. And by no means that your detestation for a people or their detestation for you move you to commit sin of deviating from justice. Be just, this is nearer and more suited to the righteous and piety. Seek righteousness and piety, meaning have the taqwa of Allah, and always act in reverence for God. Surely God, Allah, is fully aware of all that you do. You'll recall in our very first session, we reviewed the function of the supplication and the ziyah and the visitation in changing human destiny. We looked at the concept of the du'a, the ad'iyah, the ziyarat, and how do they function? Are they just things you recite, or do they have another level of depth and understanding behind them that we maybe have been missing out in our attempts to make use of these two powerful vehicles for better connectivity to Allah through His awliya? In session 2, we then focused and zeroed in on the supplications which speak about the role of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return, and justice. And we looked at many supplications where the theme of justice has been employed in the creation of those supplications. And in the third, which is our installment today, we want to conclude and continue and conclude this topic by analyzing some of the ziyarat, the visitations that we recite, which expose us to the divine, just social order. You know, when we review the passages of some of the commonly recited ziyarat that as a community of believers that we regularly recite, such as Ziyarat Ali Yasin, such as Ziyarat Ashura, and the ziyarat for the day of Friday, they give us further exposure into the divine revolution to transform the heart of the supplicant and eventually the entire society to create the just social order that we are all craving to have, that we are all yearning to be living within. a social order of justice, not of anarchy and chaos as we see around the world today. And so how does that play out in the text of the ziyarat? In this session, I want to look at a few of the ziyarat, few portions that is of each of them, to better understand the aspect of justice and the vanguard of justice, being Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif, may Allah hasten his noble return. Ziyara, as again we talked about in our first session, what the philosophy of ziyara is, what it means, what is the actual understanding of ziyara. This word that we use, ziyarat, the visitation, how does it relate to the 12th Imam and justice? Well, again, let me just go back to the Quran before we move forward, which is this verse found in chapter 57, Surah Al-Hadid, the chapter of iron, verse 25. In which Allah says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْتِ. Assuredly, we have sent our messengers with manifest truths, and clear proofs of their being messengers. And we have sent down with them the book and the balance, so that humankind may live their lives by the rule of equity. So when we look at the ziyarat, brothers and sisters, that we recite, it's not just an act of reading it with from a book or an app in front of a dhari, in a shrine far away from where we perhaps live. No, we understand the ziyarat to be a way that you and I can learn how to deal with justice in this life. As Allah says, لِيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْتِ, so that people may live with the rule of equity. And how do we learn that equity is obviously from the Quran, first and foremost. But then as a supplement to it is through the du'as, the supplications, and through the ziyarat, these visitations that we have been taught by the Prophet and his noble family, alayhum as-salatu was-salam. And so really when we look at the visitation and how it works, the mechanics behind the ziyara, this text that we are taught to read, I say that it has two aspects. It has a spiritual rejuvenation, but there's also a physical declaration. Because when you go to one of these shrine cities and you stand in front of that individual whom you're paying respects to, whether it be the Prophet or any of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, or one of the awliya such as Sayyida Zainab alayhi as-salam, or Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi as-salam, there is an aspect of obviously of a spiritual rejuvenation, not only by the recitation of the words, but being physically present, you have a spiritual rejuvenation taking place. But then there's also that aspect of the physical declaration, because we're reading certain words and not just reading them or mimicking them or parroting them or following them as somebody else recites them, but we are actually making a declaration to the individual that we're standing in front of. That is the ziyara. That is, you know, if you read the translation of it, if we don't understand the Arabic, that is a declaration, a pledge, a promise we are making to those individuals that we stand in front of. And we have to mean those, obviously. And meaning them is not just saying them, but it means to implement the teachings that they strove for in their lives, in our daily life. And so let me begin with this by saying that the visitation, the ziyara, it provides the believer, you and I, with the ability to develop our spiritual connection first and foremost to Allah Azza wa Jal and the one they are visiting, whether it be the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or a member of the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salatu was-salam, through that physical undertaking. It also provides us with a personal stimulus through not only reading the text but also reflecting on the content of the text of the visitation to recognize the individual, their movement, and the efforts which they put forth. When you combine all of this, this is where the ziyara has the maximum impact on our heart and mind and soul and body. And it allows us to truly, truly benefit from the physical journey that we've undertaken to reach the shrine city, and the physical undertaking we have gone through to be physically in that grave site area of that individual and to recite these words in their noble presence, because they are very much alive. The shuhada do not die. And so we are reciting these words not to a corpse or to a zari, to a metal box, No, we're reciting these words to an individual who are very much alive and hear our words and understand what we are making a pledge to them about. So this ziyara, where we go, or even if we do the ziyara from home, we recite these words from home, because we're not in the vicinity of the sacred shrines, or we have the opportunity to visit them. What does it all mean? How does it reflect or revolve on our lives? How does justice fit within the corpus of the ziyarat? Well, the very first ziyara that I want to touch upon in one line is a ziyara for Friday that we recite for Imam al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. And we recite this every Friday, whether we are in a shrine city or we're at home or we're in our local center. Usually after the Friday prayers, where we stand to respect the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and recite the ziyara, we, as many of our communities do, and many individuals do, without a doubt, recite the Friday ziyara, which is the day dedicated to Imam al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. In the one line that I wanted to reflect upon, we say, Assalamu alayka, Ajjalallahu laka, ma wa'adaka min al-nasri wa zuhur al-amr. Peace be upon you, meaning Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten for you that which He has promised you, from the assistance and the manifestation of the decree of Allah. And then in the second part, which is the important part, we say, وَأَنْتَذِرُوا ذُهُورَكَ وَذُهُورَ الْحَقِّ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْكَ. And I anticipate and I await your appearance and the appearance of the truth at your hands. So here, brothers and sisters, in this first part of our talk of justice and the visitations, we not only greet the 12th Imam as the one that we are asking for Allah to hasten that which He has promised of His return, but we make an acknowledgement that we are anticipating, we are waiting for His advent, which is the advent of truth, the advent of justice, the advent of equality, and we anticipate the advent of Al-Haq at His hands. The appearance of the truth that He will manifest, that He will put forth, that He will promote, that He will implement on a global scale. And so we see that we address Him on a Friday with this. That means that we ourselves need to be in a position of justice, because He will be manifesting justice. And if we are anything other than that, then that manifestation of the Imam will run contrary to what we are doing, which, if you add the two together, you know, that means our injustice will be countered by His justice. Our injustice can never live along His justice. One of them has to give way. And obviously it is us that will give way. And we will be crushed under the just hand of Imam al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu ta'ala, farajahu sharif. And therefore, when we talk of the advent of truth, the appearance of haq, the appearance of the truth, وَذُهُورَ الْحَقِّ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْكَ, we recognize that this can be a symbol of the realization of the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which have been forgotten through the ages. Let's face it, the last 14 centuries, the Sunnah of Rasulullah, the Haqq, has been lost. This started right from the days of the death of Rasulullah, continued through the Banu Umayyah, the Banu Abbas, every other dynasty that came thereafter that continue till today in the Holy Lands. Al-Haq has been demolished. The appearance of the truth is no longer there. And we can also say that this also can go back to the purpose of the prophets and messengers, which is to establish justice. And so we actively await the return of the Imam, meaning the return of justice. But we don't await Him sitting on our laurels, waiting for it to happen. But we are actively working to implement justice within our lives, because we read this every Friday. And because we read it every Friday, we are also working on this every day to also establish justice in our limited capacity, in our home, in our family, in our community, in our society. We can't conquer the entire world as the Imam will do to spread justice, but we can begin with ourselves and our family and then work from there out. Ziyar al-Yasin, for the second ziyar that we want to reflect upon, and again, just one line from the ziyara. In the ziyarat of Ali Yasin, a very famous ziyara that many people, again, I'm sure, are habituated to recite, we say something to the Imam to address him. We say, well, when we're speaking about him, who he is, what he is, what his mission is about, we say, والقائم بقسطك والسائر بأمرك, the establisher of your justice, meaning the justice of Allah, the one who follows your command, meaning the command of Allah. الذي يملا الارض عدلا وقسطا كما ملي ظلما وجورا, a very famous portion of a hadith that we read, the one who will fill the earth with justice and equity as it just as it was filled with injustice and oppression. The 12th Imam, may God hasten his return, is clearly, when we recite the ziyarat of Ali Yasin, we're clearly calling him the one who will establish God's justice on earth. Allah is Al-Adl, Al-Hakam, all of these titles. And the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, the 12 Imams, they are the implementers of those sifat of Allah. They are the ones who will establish justice, establish fairness on the earth. Allah does this through means, through intermediaries, through the prophets, through the imams, through the messengers that he sends. And he will be one who follows the commands of God. He does not do on his own. He does what he is ordered to do in his divinely appointed mission. And as we see that he is the one who will fill this earth with justice and equity, as it is today and moving forward will be continued to be filled with injustice, oppression, tyranny, he will eradicate all of that, and he will bring about a balance in this world. But that means, again, brothers and sisters, that just as we recite the ziyarah, doesn't mean that we recite it and move on with life. It means that we also need to ensure that we are following the path of trying to do and fulfill justice and balance in our lives and to remove injustice and oppression that we may be performing. Because, God forbid, if we are not doing that, then as we said, that we will be the first victims of our own crimes. He is the one who, as he says, وَالْقَائِمِ بِقِسْتِكْ وَالسَّائِرِ بِأَمْرِكْ, he will implement God's justice. He will implement God's command. And that means if you are not on the path of God and the path of the Prophet and the path of the Imam, then you stand in the way of progress and you are hindering progress of the 12th Imam. You're hindering the progress of God in this divine mission that he has put forth, that the Prophet and the Imams, may God's blessings be upon all of them, that they will implement in their era. And so let me mention this hadith from which is narrated in the non-Shia book of hadith, the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, in which he quotes Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as saying, even if the entire duration of the world's existence has already been exhausted, and only one day is left before the Day of Judgment, Allah will expand that day to such a length of time as to accommodate the kingdom of a person from my Ahlul Bayt, who will be called by my name. As we know, the 12th Imam's name is the same name as the Prophet. And the Prophet says in the hadith narrated in a non-Shia source, the Prophet has been quoted as saying, he will fill out the earth with peace and justice, as it will have been full of injustice and tyranny by then. So even the non-Shias, brothers and sisters, the Ahlul Sunnah, they have a similar hadith that this last savior from the family of the Prophet, who will have the name of the Prophet, will fill this earth with justice and equality after tyranny and oppression and subjugation and evil and all of that which is bad has been rampant upon this earth. This is a universal Muslim belief and a universal Muslim yearning and desire and wish to see that day when the Imam will come, Imam al-Mahdi, to fulfill the prophecy that the Prophet of Islam had foretold hundreds of years before his birth. The third and final portion of our talk for today is on the Ziyarat of Ashura, a text which has so many beauties related to it. It's a passage, a ziyarah that we recite not only every day, or on one day in the month of Muharram, on the 10th of Muharram, on Ashura, but many communities have a tradition, a beautiful tradition that to recite it every night of Muharram. Some communities I've been to recite it every night from the 1st of Muharram to the 9th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Other believers have a tradition, and some communities have a tradition to recite it every program, every night, for the entire year. And again, people at home, this is a tradition which we can get into, which we can follow, which we can practice. to recite the Arabic, to read the English, to reflect on the words, to read the commentaries available, which are some of them are available in English, to be able to truly live the example that the 12th Imam will be implementing in his return. The line that I want to reflect upon from Ziyarat Ashura as we conclude and we get close to the end of this third and final session is where we say, Barirtu ilallah wa ilaykum minhum wa min ashiyaihim wa atba'ihim wa awliyaihim. I turn to Allah and I turn towards you and I turn away from them and their adherents, their followers and their friends. This, brothers and sisters, if you know the story of Karbala, and I'm probably preaching to the converted, so you know the saga of Ashura and what happened, the forces of truth against falsehood, the forces of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, the small group, really, of force that he had standing up to the cursed tyrant Yazid ibn Muawiyah, la'natullah alayhima, and their general Umar ibn Sa'ad Mal'un, and Shimr, and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, la'natullah alayhim ajma'in. We seek our distancing, our bara'ah, our disapproval, our animosity, our hatred, our distrust, our disdain for those of their adherents, their ashiya, and their atba, their followers, and their awliya, and their friends. And by disassociating ourselves from evil and tyranny and oppression and injustice and wickedness and foul lifestyles and disgusting personalities that these people had, like Yazid, like his father, like the grandfather Abu Sufyan, they're no better. The Banu Umayyah, they may have had some good people here and there, but the vast majority that we know of were evil people. We distance ourselves from them and their attitude. And we turn to the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt and the Awliya, and we seek approach to God through them, because again, they are the bringers of peace and justice. They are the ones to remove what the Banu Umayyah had implemented of subjugation, of nepotism, of corruption, of political blackmail, extortions, the killings, the murders that they were involved with. We distance ourselves from those individuals. And our Islam is not the Islam of Banu Umayyah. Our Islam is not the Islam of Banu Abbas, or any of these other regimes that came after them. Our Islam is the Islam of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Our Islam is the Islam of the Quran. It's not the Islam of some of these so-called companions of Rasulullah that would kill a man and then sleep with his wife the next night. Our Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is not where we would go and burn people alive. Our Islam of Ali Muhammad alayhi wasalam is not one where heads roll in the streets and blood fills the streets because you don't pledge allegiance to the caliph of the time. And so we distance ourselves from these individuals and their forms of Islam, and we turn to Allah. We turn to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. We turn to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. We turn to their respected companions, those that follow the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. And if they deviated after the Prophet, it doesn't matter whether God says in the Quran radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an, because their commitment needs to be there for all that the Prophet stood for, and the Prophet stood for his family. And if you disrespect the family of the Prophet, then you disrespect the Prophet. And if you disrespect the Prophet, you disrespect God. And if you disrespect God, barattu ilallahi wa ilaykum minhum, then I distance myself from you, from those who follow you, from those who adhere to you, from those who are your friends. And then later on in Ziyarah of Ashura, we say, an yarzukni talaba tharika ma imamin mansurin min ahli bayt Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And that we ask God that He grant me and He grant you the opportunity to seek your revenge, the revenge of what happened in Karbala. And who do we seek that revenge with, alongside? Who do we stand beside in the avenging the tragedy of Karbala? With the victorious Imam from the family of Muhammad, peace of Allah, blessings of Allah be upon him and his family. We are seeking to be those who can stand alongside Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, when he returns to do many things. One of them is to avenge the tragedy of Karbala. And he will do that. And he will bring those people to task right from day one, from the death of Rasulullah, whatever happened, the conspiracies that were hatched up until the end. He will avenge all of those down the line who were guilty for what happened on the day of Ashura, from Saqifa all the way to Karbala. And we pray that we're with the Imam when that happens. But that means that we need to follow the tradition of Rasulullah, and the tradition of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the tradition of Lady Zahra, and the tradition of the 11 Imams from the progeny, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Unless we want to be in the camp of those whom the Imam takes revenge against, if we want to be with the Imam, then we need to follow the blueprint of the Imam, the teachings of the Imam, the justice that we are praying for in the ziyarat of Ashura. And so we will see justice with the 12th Imam, as I summarize and conclude our topic, that we will see this justice with which the 12th Imam will bring on multiple levels. It would be throughout the world, obviously, with regards to all of humanity, because that is ultimately what his mission is about, is reforming all human society, east, west, black, white, rich, poor. It doesn't matter what country you're in, you will be governed and ruled by the justice of Allah, of the Quran, of Islam, of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, of the Ahlul Bayt alayhum assalatu wassalam. But the justice that he will bring will also be specifically within the world of Islam as it relates to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. That is one aspect of his mission that he will obviously take care of, in addition to the global revolution, in addition to the global mission of the 12th Imam. And so we need to realize that the justice which Imam al-Hujjah, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, that what he will implement, it would be such that if we were caught up in the things which he will be working to eradicate, and which he will eventually eradicate, we too would be swept away by his movement, and in his movement. So we have the choice to either go with the grain or go against the current. If today we are swimming against the current, it'll be very difficult to switch course when the 12th Imam makes his advent. But if today we are going with the flow of justice, if we're going with the guidance of Allah, of the Prophet, of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, then when the dhuhur of the Imam takes place and we're alive, it'll be easy to continue on that path. But that means we need to struggle and strive today, brothers and sisters, to get to that level of fulfilling that rule and that role of being on the path of justice. We also have to recognize that the passages found in the various visitations, the various ziyarat, they encourage us to long, to have the desire, the hope, the wish for the day of his return so that we could join alongside him in his mission. This means that when we recite the ziyarah, whether it's at home or the shrine city, we need to know what we're reciting. We either learn the Arabic and understand the words as we recite them in the original language, or we learn the translation and the meaning and interpretation of them. But we have to recognize the fact that we are being encouraged in all of these ziyarah to long and have a wish for that day when we live in such a situation where there is no injustice or tyranny or oppression in the world. We conclude in this third and final passage of the discussion, rather, in this analysis of justice and the bringer of justice, whether it be in the context of the du'as, the various supplications that we recite, or in the ziyarat, the visitations that we recite from home, or from the precincts of the infallible member or the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray to God that he allow us to all be able to go to those beautiful sacred shrine cities, that we can pay our respects and reaffirm our pledge and commitment and conviction in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and the Prophet obviously first and foremost, and then the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, and especially the 12th Imam. We ask God to allow us to be able to reaffirm our commitment every day, to live by the promises that we make every day, and to yearn and pray and hope for that day. And if we're alive, we ask God to allow us to have the ability to meet the Imam and assist the Imam. And if we have left this world before that time, we ask God to bring us up from our graves, to join us and reunite us with our Imam, and that we can be those who, just as when he was in occultation, we supported his mission, that we can be of those in his presence to support his mission. We ask God to forgive us our sins, to keep us all on the path of Islam as taught by Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And we ask God to hasten the return of our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.